Thank you. Greetings, everyone, all those who are here. Praise God. All those who are online, thank you for being with us. And why don't we go ahead and just give everything over to the Lord today, amen? Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you for what you're doing today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this day, bless this service today, Lord God, this worship and praise, and when Sam comes up, Lord, that you'd bless this sermon, Lord. I pray that you would be with us today, that your spirit would go forth. Lead, guide, and direct, I pray, Lord God, that you would work on hearts. We know, Lord, that your word does not return void. We thank you for that, Lord God. For we come here, Lord, to be encouraged, edified, strengthened, exhorted, comforted. Asking you, Lord God, to do all that is right, good, and well, pleasing in your sight, Lord, that we might go forward, onward and upward, ever moving forward, Lord God, but not going backwards. For we need, Lord God, thy Spirit to guide us through these tribulation times, through these turbulent times, times of confusion. Lord God, we thank you for your spirit that brings clarity and comfort. We thank you, Lord God, that you still have a people, a remnant. We thank you, Lord God, for the fire and the sword. Even though you would plead with the fire and the sword, Lord God, that people would wake up. People would come to terms, Lord God, with who they are and what they're doing in life and where they're going. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us this urgency. For we know the days are dark, the days are evil, the time is short. You will soon return, Lord God, we know. For your appearing will be suddenly. We thank you for your spirit today, Lord. I pray that you would rest upon this congregation today. Rest upon all those who are online who are a part of our congregation, no less than that they would be here with us physically. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, under the blood we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Lord. Greetings. Kind of feels like northern Minnesota, doesn't it?
I'm actually loving it.
Yeah. Okay, well, praise God. I'm hoping that we could go ahead and start out now. By the way, do we have any announcements or anything of that nature that you're aware of?
There's nothing
that I should bring up?
That's unusual that I think of.
Okay, praise God. Why don't we just start out? There's a song called, just a short chorus to start out with, just to kind of break us in today, this morning. Have faith in God. You know, I've always believed that a little faith brings a soul to heaven, but a great faith brings heaven to your soul. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
I praise God for that. A great faith can bring heaven to your soul. Why don't we sing Have Faith in God with a great faith? Because no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter how your mind works, your heart, we know that the heart is deceitful above all things, isn't it?
Yes.
And you see, one of the things that people need to realize and understand and learn is that it's not what you see that's the reality. It's what you believe. Because what you believe with believing faith is what you see. That's faith. It's not what you think you see. And the soonest people begin to realize that and focus on that, they can get their eyes off of their flesh, get their eyes off of their emotions, get their eyes off of what they think they understand and know. The Bible says that lean not on our own understanding. Not everything is as it appears to be. That's why it's important to get out of the way, ourselves out of the way, and live by faith. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So why don't we just sing that? Have faith in God. Amen.
Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God.
See what we believe. Believing's faith. Amen. That's that reward. Praise God. Well, there's another song I'm hoping that we can go to. It is no secret. I know that the chorus is somewhere here. Do you remember what one that is, Shirley?
In the chorus book?
In the chorus book somewhere here. 116, praise God, amen. All right, 116. Yeah, there you go. But I went ahead and found the words online the other night. I was searching, trying to find the lyrics, and I was able to print it out. So I know that we have some copies of the song here. And I'm just going to hand those out real quick. And folks, kind of nice to know the words to it, you know. And we could just go ahead and sing that right now and just ask the Lord to lead, guide, and direct us here.
Open, he'll pardon you. no secret what God can do.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I'm hoping we can go to 321 in the chorus today. I mean, I'm sorry. Make it the hymn book. 321 in the hymn book. And it's called Jesus, I Come. Jesus, I Come. Here we go. It's a good song. I hope you enjoy it. I hope that you'll sing it with an earnestness in your heart. And I'm kind of reminded of before we sing that, kind of reminded of a story of Watchman Nee had about the time when he was in China. They were, remember the story correctly, he was in with this, a group of Christians at this missions training camp, and that they had these facilities. They weren't real good for washing and bathing, so they swam in the river every day. They went to the river and they swam. And one day, one of the folks, one of the guys, had a cramp in his leg, and he began to sink, and he was crying out for help. Watchman Nee wasn't that great of a swimmer, but he knew that there was one who was next to him who was an excellent swimmer. And he motioned to him that this man was drowning. And the man just stood there and waited. And Watchman Nee got kind of excited about that and wanted to know what in the world was going on, why he didn't go after his friend who was drowning. And as the man was going down for the last time, you could hear his faint voice, "Help!" And he was going down. And then he went under. Then his friend was, that swimmer was an excellent swimmer, was there in a moment and brought him back up. And they both came to shore safely, but Watchman Nee wanted to know what in the world, why was it that he just waited and waited until his friend went down under. And he said to Watchman Nee, he says, "Because if I would have gotten to him before he went under, he would have had a death grip on me. We both would have went under." And so it is. If we struggle, when we stop struggling in the flesh and struggling to try to work things out on our own, even though we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but it's if we do it in the flesh, if we do things and we get ahead of God, we need to stop fighting God, is what this comes down to, and yield to God. Like that man, he stopped fighting, he went down, and that's when he was brought back up. When we stop fighting God, we lose all that, the flesh, and fighting in the flesh, and let God have His way in our life. We come to Jesus that way. We finally get to the end of ourselves, and we say, "Lord, I can't go any further. I need a Savior. I need you to come and help me, Lord." Amen?
Amen.
And so it is in our life. Just like that man who is drowning, going down for the last time. So if we don't struggle and fight in the flesh, and we yield to the Lord and say, "I can't do it on my own," that's how we come to Jesus.
Amen.
We need God's help. Why don't we sing that? Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night,
Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health. Out of my want and into thy wealth. Out of my sin and into thyself. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my shame, failure, and loss. Jesus, I come. Into the glorious gate of thy cross. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of her sorrows into thy vault. Out of life's storms and into thy calm. Out of distress to jubilant song. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of unrest and arrogant pride. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy blessed will to abide. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of myself to dwell in thy love. Out of despair to glory above. Upward foray on wings like a dove. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into the joy and light of thy home. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depths, ruin untold. Into the peace of sheltering hold. Every
God, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, God.
Oh, praise God.
Praise
amen.
You, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. I'm just trying to find that song, Shirley. He leadeth me.
Okay, we'll give it. He leadeth me, page 184, I think.
134?
184.
184? Okay. 184, if you could go there, if you will. Ah, here we go. Praise God. Yeah. He leadeth me. You know, oftentimes people wonder, well, Lord, what is your will? Lord, how do I know what to do here? Circumstances get in the way. I'm confused. Situations are happening all around me. There are many roads, but there's only one road that leads to heaven. And the Lord gave us His Word, that map book that guides us there. Oftentimes, we need to go there as a compass. That's our compass, the Word, circumstances, what He puts in our heart. those things that we need to keep in mind and how we are to be led of the Lord. In the old days, there was a time when travelers, way back before we have modern ships today, they would carry two compasses on the ship. And one would be fixed near the helm of the ship for the helmsman to be guided by. But the other, the more important one, was put up on the mast where the sails would go, the tall mast. And one person asked the captain one day, and he goes, well, why is it that you have two, and why is it that one is on the mast? He goes, well, this is an iron ship, and oftentimes the compass that is next to the helmsman near all the iron isn't very accurate. It's influenced by all the surroundings. But the compass that is on the mast is not influenced by its surroundings. It's way above. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
And so we as Christians, our lives must be steered by that compass that's influenced not by the confusion below here, but by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's above us. Amen.
Amen.
That compass. That compass that works in our conscience, our heart.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
The Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Why don't we sing that, He Leadeth Me? 184.
O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort wrought. Whatever I do, wherever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me. By His own hands He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hands He leadeth me. Sometimes it seems the deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's flowers bloom. By water still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me. His own hands He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be. Lord, I would clasp Thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me. By His own hands He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be. By His hands He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, even death cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leads. readeth me. He readeth me. He readeth me. For by His hand He readeth me. Oh, what I would be, for by His hand He readeth me. He readeth me. He readeth me. His faithful follower I would be, His hand He leadeth me.
Praise God. I need a drink of water. Wow. Oh, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord, Jesus.
Well, well.
Praise God.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I know we have a lot of choruses in the chorus book here. It's why it's called the chorus book. But one day we're going to try to get more of the songs, try to do more of the printing and get the full version of some of these songs. I know there's a lot of beautiful songs here. It would be nice to get the full version of them. But praise God for these choruses.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, anyways, here's a song that I'm hoping that we could go to now also. And it's called From the Rising of the Sun. Amen. Number 83 in the chorus. From the Rising of the Sun. We go there according to Psalm 50, verse 1. Amen. I guess we'll just go there. I don't have much to say on that right now, except that we just learn to... One thing that I've learned to do, years ago, but I've struggled here and there, but the Lord always brought me back, and that is to learn how to pray. Make your life a life of unceasing prayer. I mean, you're not always going to be in that prayerful mode. I understand that. Oftentimes you get caught up in the heat of the day. Things happen. But always come back. You get in your car, you get off by yourself, and you go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your direction. I need your strength. I need your guidance, Lord God. Morning, noon, and the afternoon, and in the evening. We should pray unceasingly. And it's also what it means is it's an attitude of prayer. It's not like you're going to go out through the day praising God or saying a prayer the whole day long. But you can have that attitude of prayer, whether you're in company with other people, whether you're in a meeting with people, you're talking with someone, you can have an attitude of prayer.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
Because what that means is to think spiritually. That means to think spiritually. That means to have that attitude of expectation, waiting on the Lord. That prayerful insight, that prayerful attitude. Expecting the Lord to show you some new insight. Because what that is you're in close communion with the Lord. That's what that means. I never expected to say this, but I just praise God. He gave that to me to share. So we'll just go with that, amen. from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. The name of the Lord is to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Rising of the sun to the going down thereof. The name of the Lord is to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. The name of the Lord is to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Lord, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord.
We praise you, Lord. Oh, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Well, praise God. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings real quick. And what if I couldn't ask Chuck if he could be gracious to just do that for me? If anybody has anything that they want to share as far as a concern or testimony or praise report, request, or anything of that nature, please feel free to raise your hand. Anyways, I would just like to praise God for what He's doing. And the Lord is continually changing us.
Amen.
For His glory.
Praise
Amen.
You, Lord. Thank you.
We're all a work in progress, aren't we?
Amen.
Every one of us. All of us can change for the better.
Praise you, Lord.
And I remember, Abraham Lincoln once said, he was talking, he made mention that it's not faith of what God can do, it's what God will do. Amen? That's what faith is. And It's not what he can do or supposedly might do for you. It's what he will do. Amen?
Praise be, Lord. Thank the Lord.
Abraham Lincoln was a man of great faith. He was the same man who said that without God, a true statesman is one who brings God with him, keeps God in his life. Amen? Abraham Lincoln said that. I praise God for that. We don't have too many presidents or men anywhere that even thinks like that anymore. Oh, how we need people like that again.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing, Lord. For giving us that faith, oh Lord God, to believe you, that you are well able, Lord God, that you will do those things for us, that we, Lord God, that we pray for thee, Lord God, to change in our lives. That you would, we know, Lord, that your word does not return void. That you are, Lord God, the same one who is well able to fulfill all those needs in our lives. For you are able, Lord God, to fulfill all those commands found in your word. Help us to just trust and obey, Lord God, to walk in that faith. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing now. Thank you for these tithes, gifts, and offerings. Pray that you would bless it, bless the giver, Lord God, abundantly. Under the blood in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God.
Sam's coming up now, and praise God. We'll listen and give your hearts to the Lord today, now, and just listen and allow the Lord to work in your life. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is so good to be here this morning. It's always good to come and worship the Lord and study His Word. And today is kind of a special day for my wife and I. It's actually the 1-year anniversary of our marriage, so we're pretty excited about that. And after the service today, we're going to be going up north and to do a little exploring. We'll be gone for a few days, and we're just hoping to have a wonderful time in the Lord. Praise God. We are going to have a study today, and what I'm going to call this message is, Except Ye Repent. And what we're going to talk about today is repentance. Before I get into the Word, I'd like to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to gather in Thy name. We thank Thee for the many blessings that Thou hast bestowed upon us. We thank Thee that we have this place where we know there are so many who would love to be here but cannot. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. We thank Thee for the many lessons that Thou hast taught us and are continuing to teach us. We ask, O God, that Thy Spirit would be upon each and every one of us here today and within the hearing of my voice and whoever may hear this recording in the future. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldest give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood. Now, the inspiration to preach this message today all started when I received an email. And in this email, one of our readers wrote, "Thank you for your sight. Could you create a page on how we should repent using quotes from the Bible, please? I do not want to do this wrong, and I don't want to die a sinner. Thank you for your work and continue. Thank you for your work and continue to do God's work." So, I after I read that, I felt a little inspired, and we will be putting up a page on that. But I thought, why not do a sermon on it too? And that's what we're going to do today. Now, repentance, it's not some ritual that you go through. You don't go see a Catholic priest to be absolved of your sins or some other religious leader. Repentance is a condition of the heart. Repentance is a heartbreaking, gut-wrenching realization that you've sinned. It's true remorse and an honest desire to change your ways. The words you speak won't matter unless you actually mean them, unless you actually are sincerely sorry for your sins. Steps to repentance. You must first humble yourself before God. If you're not humble before God, you cannot repent. And you must confess your sins to God, and He will forgive you of those sins.
Amen.
You must be truly sorry for what you've done. We're going to look at some biblical examples of repentance. We're going to look at what the Bible says about repentance. And we're going to look at the necessity of repentance to start out with. I want to begin today in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 tells the story of a very unique individual, a man named John the Baptist. John the Baptist, of course, as we know, came to prepare the way for Jesus Christ so that people would be ready and willing to hear the message that Jesus would bring forth. He prepared the way. That's what John the Baptist did. And we're going to see that John the Baptist came preaching repentance. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, it tells us, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" So as we see John the Baptist, he came to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." So he was a very unique individual, quite obviously. His raiment consisted of camel's hair, and he wore a leather girdle, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Wouldn't be my first choice, but he must have liked it. "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." We see there that they had to confess their sins before they were baptized. And of course, baptism is a part of repentance too. "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance.'" When you repent, you're not going to be the same person you were before. There's going to be a noticeable difference. There's going to be a change. And people are going to notice that about you. They're going to see it. You won't be the same person you were before. "And think not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham to our father.' For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." So he's telling these Pharisees and these Sadducees, bring forth good fruit. Repent. Of course, the Pharisees and Sadducees were very, very wicked men of that day. Of course, they were regarded as the religious elite, but they had a lot of pride and they had a lot of sin in their lives. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And of course, we know he's speaking of Jesus Christ there, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? The tares are the evildoers, and of course, the wheat are the people who follow God and obey God. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Now why was Jesus doing this? He was setting the example for us, showing the necessity of baptism. That's why he did it, to show us that we need to do it. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So in Matthew chapter 3, we see the necessity of repentance and we see the necessity of baptism. They both go hand in hand. Let's go now to Luke chapter 13. I'm going to look at a warning from Jesus. This portion of Scripture is often known as the turn or burn verses. In Luke chapter 13, verse 1, it tells us, There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, great tragedy had befallen these people, but it's not because they were greater sinners than other men. Jesus said they weren't. They were sinners and they did need repentance, obviously, just like we all do, but they weren't more evil, they weren't more wicked than other people. These verses demonstrate the necessity to repent. It tells us, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We have a choice to make. Either we can repent or we can perish. And it is God who calls us unto that repentance. What I'd like to do now is go to Acts chapter 2. I was preparing for this message. I wasn't sure if I should go to Acts chapter 2 or not, because we've been there before. We all know what it says. But how can I preach a message on repentance without going to Acts chapter 2? Of course, Acts chapter 2 tells the story of Pentecost. They were all gathered in an upper room waiting for the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, to fall on them. And this was the day. It was just as Jesus had instructed. He told them to go and wait. And that's what they were doing. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Oh, how I would love to see that rushing mighty wind here. It's been here. I remember a time when that actually happened. There was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it wasn't a natural earthly wind. It wasn't a windy day. It just came up upon this building, and the Spirit of God filled this place. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. So those who had gathered, waiting for God's Spirit, waiting for the Holy Ghost to fall upon them, they began to speak in other tongues. They were speaking languages they had never learned. And that was a great, great event. And of course, there were people from all over the world gathered because it was Pentecost. And they were amazed because they were hearing these men worship and praise God in their own languages. Languages which those men had never learned. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" So they didn't understand what was happening, the crowd that had gathered. Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." And of course, it's often the case when there's a move of the Spirit of God, the devil comes along and there's a mocking spirit as well. And that's what was happening here. Of course, this made no sense, because when people are drunk, they tend not to speak languages they never learned. Rather, they tend to slur their speech a bit. And that's not what was happening. And of course, Peter, the Holy Ghost moved upon him, and he was feeling feisty this day. That mocking was all he could take. He stood up to preach to them. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." And of course, that means it was about 9 in the morning. Usually, people aren't drunk by 9 in the morning. You'd really have to start in early to accomplish something like that. And if you do, then you got a real problem. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you want to be saved, you have to call on the name of the Lord. You have to call on the name of Jesus Christ. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Jesus had no sin, and death could not keep him. And thankfully, he is willing to take our sins upon himself so that death cannot hold us either.
Praise God.
It's through Jesus Christ we can have eternal life. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Prophecy was being fulfilled that day. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Have you ever been pricked in your heart? I hope so, because that's something that needs to happen to each and every one of us before we come to repentance.
Right.
Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were pricked in their hearts and they wanted to know, what shall we do? What do we do now? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's you and I, folks. That applies to each and every one of us today. Praise the Lord. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. It was an untoward generation back then. And the generation today is even more untoward than that generation. We all need to repent of our sins. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You don't see things like that too often these days. 3,000 souls saved in one day. That tells me that 3,000 souls repented, and 3,000 souls were baptized. You know, baptizing 3,000 souls must have taken a while. And they probably didn't have warm water like we do in that baptistry over there, but they were moved by the Spirit of God and they obeyed that command. 3,000 souls. What a wonderful thing. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayers. So we see from the scriptures we've studied so far that repentance is a necessity in our lives if we hope to obtain salvation from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But one might wonder, how do I repent? What do I do? Well, there's a very, very good example of how one should repent. And that is in Luke chapter 18. Let's go there now. Luke chapter 18, going down to verse 10. Actually, let's start with verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9, it tells us, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Now, isn't that horrible? Men who thought they were righteous, what they were is self-righteous. They actually despised others because they looked down on them. Thought, well, those people, they're not as good as we are. What a horrible state to be in. "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican." And of course, publicans, they were tax collectors, and they were highly reviled by the ordinary citizens. Nobody likes having taxes collected, and that's something that still applies to this day. "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican.'" Can you imagine that? This self-righteous Pharisee, he's praying, supposedly, and that publican is standing right there, and this Pharisee says, "I thank thee that I'm not like other men. I'm not like this publican." That's a very self-righteous. This Pharisee needed to repent, but that's not what he was doing. "I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." He obviously was very, very proud of himself. He considered himself to be a holy man. But he was mired deeply in sin. He was very proud, very self-righteous. Verse 13 tells us, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You see, when you repent, you have to mean it with all your heart. God can tell whether you mean what you say. He knows if it's true repentance or not. If you simply say, "Lord, I repent," and don't mean it, you will not be forgiven. It has to be a genuine repentance. That realization that you've sinned, that you've offended God, and that you need His forgiveness, that you need His mercy. If you truly repent, you will have that mercy and you will have that forgiveness. Verse 14 tells us, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." So we see it's very important to humble yourself before God. And you know, when you're humble, the devil can't use that. He can't use humility. But God can. I'd like to go now to Psalm 32, which is a beautiful portion of Scripture. Psalm 32, verse 1, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." You know, when we come to Jesus Christ and we repent, those sins are covered. They're washed away by the precious blood of the Lamb. "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." You know, before you repent, it's a miserable existence. We all need God to take away our sins, and He is willing to do that for you and for me. But we must confess our sins to God. You don't need to confess them to a Catholic priest, but you do need to confess your sins to God if you want Him to forgive you. Amen. I acknowledge my sin unto Thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto Thee, in a time when Thou mayest be found, surely in the floods of great waters. They shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. Don't be like those animals which can be so stubborn. Humble yourself before God. Seek his forgiveness. Repent before him. That is how you receive deliverance. Whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. That, of course, is a beautiful portion of Scripture, and it goes very well with another portion of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 55. Let's go there now. Isaiah chapter 55 extends an invitation to us, an invitation to seek the Lord, an invitation to turn from our wicked ways, an invitation to be blessed by God. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 tells us, Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. So we have an invitation here. We need to apply these words spiritually. Of course, we know that Jesus Christ is the living water. We can come to him and we can drink of that water, and he can quench the longing of our souls. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. You know, so many people spend time and effort on things that don't matter. They don't satisfy your soul. Things that are just a waste of time. We need to come to Jesus. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. There is an everlasting covenant for each and every one of us who repent and come to Jesus Christ. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Of course, the Holy One of Israel is Jesus Christ. That is what that's speaking of right there. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. When you come to God and you repent, it says here that he will abundantly pardon. Yeah. Praise the Lord. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You know, when the word of the Lord comes forth, that's never void. It always accomplishes the purpose that God intended for it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You know, when you come to Jesus in repentance, it's heartbreaking, the shame you have to deal with, but once that's gone and you're assured of your salvation, of your forgiveness, when you know that God has forgiven your sins, there is great joy in that. And He has promised to forgive us if we truly repent. I'd like to go now to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse 1 tells us, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. We can have fellowship with Jesus Christ. In fact, we're having fellowship with Jesus Christ right now. We're gathered in His name, and He is here with us. This, then, is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If you want to be cleansed from your sins, you need to come to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We've all sinned at one time or another. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is a great cleansing power from God available to each and every one of us. If we confess our sins, if we repent, true repentance. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So we see from 1 John chapter 1 that it's very important to confess our sins to God, to seek forgiveness by repentance. Before I close, I'd like to go to one last portion of Scripture. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. And of course, in this chapter, Jesus is being crucified. They had had a trial and they had sentenced Him to die. And if we go down to verse 32, Jesus is hanging on the cross, bleeding and dying for us so that we may obtain that forgiveness, that our sins may be covered. And there were two thieves that were hung on crosses beside him, one on each side of him. And in verse 32 it tells us, and there were also two others, malefactors, led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And of course, we know that that is all fulfillment of prophecy. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen one of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. Of course, we know that Jesus had committed no sin, and it was customary for those who were crucified that the accusation be printed above them on the cross so that people knew why they were being crucified, and Jesus had done nothing, so his accusation, which was really not an accusation at all, but a statement of fact, it said, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. If you can imagine, one of these thieves is hanging on a cross. Actually, in other portions of Scripture, it tells us that at first both thieves were mocking God, but one of them came to his senses. These men were in the process of dying, but there was one malefactor here, it tells us, and he said, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? That other malefactor, that other thief, he came to his senses and he realized, you know, Jesus, he had done no wrong. We deserve what's happening to us. We deserve to die. We deserve to hang on these crosses. But Jesus has done nothing to deserve what's happening to him. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. That thief, that malefactor, he repented. Hanging from the cross, it would only be hours before he was dead, and yet he repented. Praise God. It's never too late, as long as you have breath, as long as your heart is beating, as long as you're alive, you can repent before God. You know, sometimes the devil tries to tell us you've done so much wrong, God will never forgive you, you shouldn't even bother trying, but it's never too late as long as your heart is still beating. This man was hanging on the cross. He was in the process of dying, and it still wasn't too late for him. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That man repented. He called that a last minute repentance, but it was valid. Just goes to show the forgiving nature of Jesus, how willing he is to forgive. You see, he doesn't enjoy sending anyone to hell. That's not what he wants to do. But if we don't come to God, if we don't repent, then it's necessary. Thankfully, this man repented, and Jesus told him, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And if each and every one of us truly repent before God, we too can be in paradise with Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy scriptures. We thank thee for thy salvation through repentance. We thank thee for thy mercy and grace. We thank thee for thy willingness to forgive us for our sins. We ask, O God, that these words would not leave us. We ask that these words would sink down deeply into our hearts. We ask, O God, that we would take heed to this message thou hast brought forth. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst cleanse our hearts and that we would truly repent before thee and be forgiven of all our sins. Lord, I ask that thou wouldst go with each and every one of us today and abide in our hearts. I ask this and pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. And we'll close with a chorus. Number 78 in the chorus book, Keep On Walking by Faith.
Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith.
Praise the Lord. You are dismissed unto prayer.